What is going on, my friends? Mike Walker here with you at another episode of TWC Talks podcast, the Wealthy Consultant Talk podcast. There we go. We can do this. I've got my buddy, Mr. John Cameron, with me today. I'm super excited to have him on. We're going to be diving into a whole bunch of different things. We're jamming actually before the show. And man, we've got some topics for you. So if you run a business, if you operate within a business, if you deal with clients, if you want to figure out how to deliver an exceptional experience with clients, if you're hiring people or trying to figure out which people you got to fire, if you need to build systems, all of this are things that we're going to be covering today. We're going deep. What is going on, John Cameron? How are you, sir? What's your jam this morning? How are you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great. Man, Mike, thanks for having me. First of all, I appreciate you guys inviting me. I'm privileged to be the second time I'm on this podcast. So that's pretty
sweet. I know, man. Like we got to get you a special jacket or something to put on. Like I think you're one of the very few.
Yeah, I need a pin or a badge or something like that. I need to start collecting them. Hey, man. So yeah, I'm just loving life, going through good pains that I want, that I've asked for, and man, learning every single day. Yeah, how you doing out there? Out there in California?
Yeah, man. No, all good, all good. And that's one of my favorite things about you, just as a general person, but also as one of the members inside our chamber community, you know, our highest tier of consultancy, is you are a perpetual student, man. You are constantly out there engineering, tweaking, optimizing, doing all the things to produce the exceptional experience that we always talk about for clients and what we're trying to produce here over on our side for TWC. And you mirror that perfectly in your own business and the own vertical that you're in. Let's give everybody a little snapshot. If they're not already aware of you, like give us a 1 or 2 minute like Reader's Digest version. Who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? Like give us a little snapshot so we have some context before we get into the weeds here.
Yeah, man. So in a nutshell, I run a company called Etho. And Etho's main vision is to eradicate disease for human civilization. That is the goal. Full stop. Boom. The mission over the next, we'll call it 15 years, is to create 1 billion years of vitality for the world. And so we have this measurable vision or measurable mission and a vision that's long term. Really, what I want to do with Etho is assemble a council of the brightest minds in healthcare. Now, we primarily work with holistic and natural healthcare. And lots of times when people hear that, like, oh, is it like woo-woo or is it just, you know, it's just vitamins? No, the individuals we work with, they use technologies that most people are unaware of, but they do incredible things for the body. And so in a nutshell, what we do is we engineer the front-end experience with systems, automation, and AI for our clientele in that space to help them bring their value, their care plans, the things that they do to market. And the challenge is that, of course, most people are aware that health care, people kind of have this, you know, it's going to be covered by insurance or it's going to be drugs, injections, and surgery. And unfortunately, that's not the case. The new medicine, the future of healthcare, and I'm betting my entire company on it, is what I call biophysics medicine. It's not really a term that's really out there, but basically the traditional medicine is going to be focusing on biology, cutting something out of you. Chemistry, altering your tissues or blood and through some form of fashion, whether it be an injection or a pill, and even natural medicine does that as well. But the best of the best in this space go down to physics, which is dealing with voltage and electrons inside of your body. Now I can nerd out for hours on all that. It's changing the physics of the body is because that physics governs the other two. And you can look out in the universe for proof of that. We have less biology than we have chemistry. We have less chemistry than we have physics. And so if you think about it from even a universal, like the entire universe, you'll notice it mirrors the same. So my goal is to help those practitioners who are trying to challenge the status quo, who are trying to push the entire thinking and make people aware of what's out there for their body. It's to really develop a product that will help with that. Help those individuals, amazing. Those practitioners really bring it to market. So that's what we do here.
Amazing, amazing. Hey guys, and if you haven't picked up on it, John Cameron's one sharp dude. And more importantly, in my mind, is that he has absolute clarity of purpose. You know, every single one of us has been put on this planet with a purpose. Now, whether we identify or even understand or realize that purpose yet or in the future, is that's obviously a person-to-person topic. But what I'm so passionate about is helping people magnify their message and make sure that we get them out into the marketplace, into the world. So here's the thing. Here's the crux of the issue that we're going to jam on today, Taylor. We've got somebody like Mr. John Cameron here who is exceptional in his field. He's doing exceptional things for his clients. He's engineering systems and strategies to help them magnify their message in the marketplace. But with that comes his own bucket of problems, his own challenges that he, as a business owner, as a founder and visionary, have to overcome. And so what we're talking about is like learning how to give up control as that visionary while still engineering an exceptional experience for your clients using team and systems and basically building a infrastructure around the concept and the mission of the business. And something you said, John Cameron, I thought was amazing. The more valuable you are to your business, the less valuable your business is. And that's where it's just so hyper dependent on you being the one. And now you are starting to realize that, like, wow, we've gotten to a certain point for our clients. We're producing what we want to produce, but I'm hitting a cap because it's all been built around you. I think this is something that Taylor, no doubt, has absolutely experienced in the past too. So this is going to be a good combo. Let's dive into that specific topic, not being the bottleneck as the founder and visionary. I think that's a big one.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, what I've learned since my previous business, which was not a good business at all. It's horrible, bloated, way too much staff. All the models that were in place that ran the business were not functional because I was being given deals. So now coming into this business and rebuilding it correctly, and when I met you guys, it was still incorrect. There's still stuff that was really incorrect. But realizing, okay, wow, I put this in place. I put this form of attention in place. Okay, got it. I can run paid ads. That's easy in my mind, right? I've spent so much money on them personally, so I know how those work. Okay, oh, demonstration. I didn't know there's 6 different types. What do you mean? All right, and then now monetization. So I'm realizing as I'm layering what you guys call the codex, and that's Taylor's model, that creates that dependability and the stability in the business. But where you can sell, and this is where people get screwed up, and this is where experience comes into play. Sure, get clients. You got to fulfill on the thing that you said you're going to fulfill on. You sold them into a thing. Now they expect you to deliver, right? And so where I'm learning is as I started to allow myself to grow the client base, when I started out, it was very boutique, very small, and I wanted to make an exceptional product for a very small group of people. That's awesome. But as you start expanding that client base, you realize that you can't do it all before I could. And so really to pull those models out of my head and give it the richness and texture it needs so someone who does not have my brain can execute the way I want is a challenge. It has been a challenge. I'm just learning the best way to do so. And the way that I've found that has been effective is, shout out to Dan Martell, but the buyback your time, there's a model he gives where it's like the camcorder method, then the checklist, and then the course, like all the different things in there, utilizing to pull out of my head. But even so, there's still pieces where I'm going through and I'm writing all that stuff down and I'm missing stuff. Why? Because I have chunked up that directive. It's too easy. I'm just like, oh yeah, this is one step. But it's really like 6, 7, 8 steps. In my brain, it's one. So learning how to break that down even into smaller pieces for a staff member, it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge just on teaching, not even systems. But yeah, however you want to go from here, man, we'll get talk about it.
Love it. Taylor, I know you know a thing or two about pulling IP out of your head and trying to figure out how do I deliver this at a scalable method. Beyond just what's, to you, it's relatively like, yeah, you just do this and this and there you go. But as we know, that's not necessarily the case as you begin to lean more on team and systems to fulfill versus being the sole provider of that IP, that intellectual property.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I think the stepping back, because obviously when I met you and I was like, okay, this is cool. I love this. I invested. I got started. And then I'm like, all right, I got to prove to Taylor that I'm not some bum coming in here. Right. So I remember our first conversation and him being like, hey man, like, okay, cool. We can run with this. And I had to reconcile with that because I've had to deal with some things in my past, the traumas and stuff that come from childhood stuff that kept me small. But now I've really stepped in and started to expand in those models and realizing, okay, like we can do this. Like this is something that I can get done and the revenue's matching that. But with that being said, yeah, I want a real business. I don't want a guru model where it's like, if I leave, the whole business explodes, right? We can't have that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm looking at what you guys are doing at TWC. I'm like, okay, wow. All right. So, you know, look at all the curriculum, look at all the different models, look who's all contributing too, right? There's a lot of contribution from other people. Yeah. You know, Taylor has his name, his reputation, all that stuff, but he's also bringing others to the limelight and letting them shine as well. And letting them share their, you know, intellectual property. So he's getting massive leverage there because now he has this asset that grows in value. The asset grows in value because it's one time consumed, or it's not just one time consumed. I've consumed a lot of the stuff multiple times. On top of it, now he's documenting this huge, you know, you got all these playbooks. I think there's, you know, when we first started, it was like zero. Now there's like 20 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's growing.
There's a lot. So you come in, I want to learn about client retention. I want to come in, learn about financial modeling. I want to come in and learn about teams, whatever. It's like, it's there. And so everything is decentralized, which is incredible.
And that's something too I've seen over the years working with subject matter experts and helping them, you know, bring their IP to the market, monetize their expertise, is that a lot of times they get pretty far. They get to a point because it is that guru model, like we're just discussing, right? Like they have their following, their tribe, their message is resonating, and they can get pretty far just on that alone. But eventually that plateaus because you, like to your point, John Cameron, like you can only be so many, you know, people at once. You can only wear so many different hats at once. And eventually these people, these subject matter experts realize, well, hang on, I actually don't have a business. I have a job. And now I'm stuck. And so there's this weird thing that happens. All of a sudden they start, a lot of self-doubt starts coming in. They're like, wait a second, maybe I'm not that good. It's like, no, you're amazing. It's just, you're not an amazing, just because you're really skilled in your particular area of expertise does not mean by default make you an awesome business owner or founder or leader for your business. And so even yesterday, one of our other members in chamber posted like, hey, as I begin working myself out of daily operations, where do I reallocate my time? What do I do? And this is something that I think a lot of people face, is that just because you're really skilled at your particular craft does not by default mean that you're going to be an exceptional founder or leader for your team. Yeah. And now all of a sudden you're forced in this learning environment. You're like, wow, I actually have to spend my time and attention and learning energy on an entire different area of life in general, but we'll call it the entrepreneurial experience and leadership side of things. All of a sudden you realize, wow, I've got to like learn how to run a team and do all these different things that they've never had to do before. And that's just another stage of evolution. Taylor's like on that. Totally. Yeah. And this is where we get into that concept of team, right? Like, and you're experiencing this now, John Henry, you're realizing, well, yeah, I mean, I've engineered that amazing experience. And yet now you're starting to find your glass ceiling, right? It's not scalable if you don't bring in the people. And this means learning how to relinquish control and the fact that they might not do it as perfect as you would, but you have to relinquish some of that and learn how to guide your team and even embrace the idea that give them some, you know, allocate some responsibility and trust in your people. And that's a whole nother stage of evolution as a business owner.
I mean, it is. Right now I'm in the throes of realizing, hey, I need an operator. Hey, I need, you know, I'm really realizing I need like a dozen people to replace all the proficiencies that I have, which is crazy to me. So it's like, I've learned how to make ads, client experience, it comes to doing MarTech, when it comes to writing copy, when it comes to doing sales, when it comes to, like, it's just like all these different skill sets that I have to now offload. And I think there's that control piece of, I want it done a certain way. There's a standard of excellence that if it's not there, do it again. I mean, I've literally told my team, like, that's shit. Do it again. And here's why, right? That's crap. We're not going to let that leave. We're not shipping that. You better do it again. And they'll be like, I'm like, yeah, you rushed that. I can tell, you know, you don't think I don't know how to do that because you skipped this, you forgot that, you know, whatever, like small nuanced pieces, small things. They're like, but that's a small detail. I said, it all fucking matters. Like that, if you start cutting corners there and then I start becoming lax and then you're going to cut corners here. Like, no, like this is exactly why people want to work with us, is we don't cut corners. So spend the extra time, get it done right. And certain people don't, you know, they'll take it and they'll do it. But I know as they start to realize is as we bring in new people to the team, like this guy is kind of, he's obsessed about getting the outcome at the level of excellence. I'm like, yeah. So why do you think our clients stay with us for 15 months and counting? Why? When most people that they work with in this space is 2 to 3 months. Why do you think they stay with us for over a year? Why do we think we have clients referring over $1 million of business to us? Why? Because of these small damn details that you think are not important. They are important. And so that's led to me having to let go someone. I'm actually letting go someone tomorrow because they're not hitting the small details. And I've given this person multiple chances. And it's like, okay, you got to go. And, and I've already rehired another person to backfill them. So they're feeling that seat pressure. So, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, it's like giving up control means that they also have to have the standard of excellence that I want. And I think that's where I've struggled. I've talked to Taylor about this. Hey, man, if you can just get them 80% to where you are, and then you can help train in that other back, that other 20% through time. But I'm like, man, it's, part of me is like feeling the, can I give up that 20%? Meaning like, can I accept that 80%? And then would that still fall, under our standard of excellence? And I think it'd have to be, yeah, sure, 80%, but I'm going to push their ass to 90, 95, 100 as fast as possible. Because that's what's making the difference between clients being like, okay, this is good, or holy shit, like this is, I've never seen this before.
It's phenomenal.
So I do struggle with that. I do struggle with that 100%.
And I don't see that changing, man. I honestly don't. I think that's going to be just the way it goes. Obviously on the optimistic side, you can paint it in a way where it's like, hey, look, your 80%, John Cameron, is probably most people's 110%, so you can give yourself a little bit of a sense of security on that. Like, okay, well, yeah, but when I say it's 100%, it's like way above and beyond what people would even know to expect. So you can look at it that way. But also I would never advocate not to have, hold against, what it is that you're doing there and produce and really set the bar so high for your team. I mean, I think that's it's critical to be able to get to that level.
I mean, I agree with you. I think it's just harder in general to duplicate yourself. Exactly. I mean, they don't have my experience and nuance and the filters that I've gone through life, like the things that have molded me to who I am. So of course, it's not going to be exactly right. But I think where the control component is difficult is like, okay, if I wanted to be consistent in the same way, first, I've realized when it comes to like product, you might've seen this or heard this before, but it's like, first you got to make it work. Then you got to make it right. And then you got to make it fast. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's going through those stages. I'm sure there's a graphic somewhere on the internet about that. And so I've really thought like, okay, even with, would it be hiring, marketing, product, it's make it work, make it right, make it fast. And so it doesn't just apply to product, it applies to every single stage of every single silo or department in business. And it is, it's like right now my focus is on operations. Like how can I streamline the operations component so that it is faster, that it works, and that it's right, and then we can speed up the throughput. So we did it with marketing, so cool. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I want to zero in on that because as we wrap, there's always this piece of the show that I really like to try to inject an actionable item that our listeners can immediately deploy into their business. And one thing you and I were talking about prior to jumping on was your asynchronous meeting strategy that you use internally with your team to do exactly what you were just saying, which was to speed up, optimize, and then speed up the internal team communications that you have with your organization. So could you give us a quick explainer of how this is done and what the results that you're seeing from it?
Yeah. So the shout out to my client experience director, Kemet, you guys know who he is. So Kemet Dominguez. Yep. And awesome. he came to me with this idea and I was like, okay, sweet. So what does this entail? Basically, what the whole point is to be able to buy back the founder's time because I was spending a ridiculous amount of time on calls per week. We're talking upwards of like 24 hours a week, like a lot. So
with your team?
No, not just with team. It's team and clients.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
So a lot, like I'm spending a lot of time on client calls and these are 1 hour calls a piece. So you're talking, a lot of clients that I'm having to rotate through clients. It's just a lot. And so I'm already burnt out from this. And so I'm like, okay, we got to solve this problem. The asynchronous model is basically you take what you would normally do with those calls and you simplify it to what is the problem we're trying to solve, which is Taylor always brings that with when people talk to them, ask them questions, like, what is the problem you're trying to solve? So we get mm-hmm. that down, and then we build out a Loom video or any asynchronous software you can use and send that to the client. So we have that piece. Now, where's that channel? We use Telegram. You can use WhatsApp, you can use whatever, but we like the Telegram. We throw our team that's client facing inside of that Telegram to allow for them to get feedback. And so Kemet's, you know, one of his main jobs, one of the things he does it with experience is to get them the resources they need. So whether it be a piece of curriculum, a resource, feedback, if it's something that has to come directly from me, of course, and I'll have to, you know, he'll let me know about it inside of Slack, and then I will message them a Loom video on the problem and they will solve that problem. And so instead of it being, hey, let's jump on a 1 hour call and chit chat and BS and whatnot and not be effective, give me the problem in a most succinct way possible. And that way I can give you a succinct answer back and we can move the ball forward instead of you waiting a week to get, you know, your answer.
Yeah, wait for the calendar to come and sync up and yeah, totally.
Yeah. So there's that. Voice drops, of course, are part of, you know, Telegram and just texting, right? So you can just make the directive much more cleaner, much more clean because of the fact that you're using an asynchronous model. So the whole point is to decrease the amount of calls you do. That was the whole idea. And that's essentially what we've done. And so now I only hop on calls with the clients of the, you know, that pay us the high dollar figures. Everyone else is in that asynchronous bucket. Hey, we're just going to go back and forth. There's no need to jump on a call unless you have a request. Like if it's something that is more complex, we'll hop on a call. But the goal is we're coming to that call with a problem to solve, not just to chit chat, not just to have this weekly, you know, we're just so dialed in to call. Oh, we just hop on a Zoom. Yeah, there's time for that. But when it comes to business proficiency efficiency, then you may not necessarily need to do it. And this allows us to scale the one-to-one. That's the difference. We wanted to scale the one-to-one experience, but we wanted to be able to do it in a way where I'm not the bottleneck. And so utilizing that asynchronous, we're building up that knowledge base of Looms. Mm-hmm. So if a client has a question, we can send it to them, or we just build it into the curriculum, which is why I'm doing so. So it's like, we're rebuilding it for the ninth time. So that is smaller blocks. So these smaller blocks of video can just be sent. Boop, here you go. Got that question. Here it is. Right. So we just send them
what they need when they need it.
Yep. Yep. So it's really to preempt, do our best to preempt any, you know, challenges they're dealing with inside of the curriculum. But if they need something nuanced, we have that Loom video to back up. That's it in a nutshell. I mean, it's working for us. We've been doing it since November.
Love that. And it's all those little details, right? Like it's all those little things that if you can optimize time by 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, even the compound effect of that day over day, week over week, month over month is significant.
I was going to say cut 20 hours out of my Zoom time.
20 hours. Wow.
A week.
Yeah, that's significant. A week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then we do that for the teams as well. So like we have our team, we don't have team calls. We only have them once a month and we have our quarterlies, but mm-hmm. instead of hopping on calls every single week, multiple times a week, it's just, hey, I put the directive at the beginning of the week and I write out all the things that need to get done. I record a video over that directive to divvy up the projects. And then those projects go into the team's tasks and they go and they knock them out. And so no need for this long drawn out conversation, they can spend more time executing.
I love that, man. I love that. Yeah. The meetings can be a killer as your organization grows. Yeah. The need for communication is still there. That doesn't go away, but the way that communication happens is the key. And I really want to highlight that, guys. Like don't miss what was just explained here. If you have to go back, listen to this little piece at the end, because if you can inject this into your business and adopt it as a system, to John Cameron's point, 20 hours a week, what would you do with an additional 20 hours a week? I mean, put a dollar figure to your hourly rate and all of a sudden you're looking at some real math, right? So let's end on that. That was powerful, man. I appreciate you as always for sharing your brain, your expertise, not just here on our podcast, but of course, inside the chamber. Is there, where can someone go to learn more about your organization? Because you're changing the world literally. And I think regardless of whether people can use what it is that you teach and help with in their own business, they probably know somebody that could. So how does someone learn more about John Cameron and the business that you bring to the market?
Yeah, I mean, just go to etho.net, ETHO.net. That's our main site. And then you can follow me on Facebook. My name is pretty unique. John Cameron is the full first name. Johnson is the last. It throws people off all the time. And then as well as Instagram, which is at John Cameron. I actually got fortunate enough to grab that tag.
Nice. That's always good.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. So those are the main channels I'm on. And if you have any questions about the Wealthy Consultant, of course, I'm willing to give you the answers. These guys have been phenomenal. They're literally the reason the revolving price model is the reason my business still exists. And I love that. Matter of fact, I saw one of your guys' ads that popped up, and he's training in front of a board, a digital board. And I put the comment on there because I was like, this is the reason I still have a business. This is literally the reason. It kept me from dying, as well as it's helped me grow to my business. So now my fixed expenses are done by the fifth of the month. I mean, I'm literally by the fourth or fifth of the month, depending on when that billing hits, all fixed expenses are done. It's gone. He's like, I don't have to worry about it. So
revolving price method, my friends, we'll make sure that a link to the revolving price method book is available. It's floating all over the internet now. It's lit up like gangbusters. People are really loving it. So we'll make sure that below this episode is a link so you can grab that. It is absolutely, to John Cameron's point, a game changer in your business. If you have not yet adopted the revolving price method or even know what it is, definitely want to go check that out. Taylor did a phenomenal write up on that. And John Cameron, thank you so much for joining us, sir. I appreciate you, and look forward to seeing you over there in the channels inside chamber and the Wealthy Consultant Group. And we'll be seeing you at an event, I'm sure, soon as well.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Have a great time, and we'll see you on another episode. Take care, guys.